Well, we have got Professor Linda Bryce. She's on the line now. Me tuku mihi ki a koe. Linda, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. Claudette Hawiti here. Professor Bryder, Linda Bryder, a book, Momentous Change in New Zealand's Maternity Care from the 1980s, Its Consequences for Mummy and Babies. That's behind your book, Best Country to Give Birth, Midwifery, Home Birth, and the Politics of Maternity here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Congratulations to you. Thanks very much for
Thank
joining
you.
us this morning on Radio Wāte. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, thank you for having me.
Best maternity care, change in New Zealand's maternity care from the 1980s. What was that about? Could you explain to us what maternity care looked like before the 1980s, then compared to now?
Absolutely. So ever since the first Labor government introduced free maternity care, either in hospital or in the home in 1939 for women for 14 days of care, women chose increasingly to go into hospital so that by the 1980s, hospital birth was almost universal for Māori and Pākehā. Also in that period, GPs did most of the antenatal care for mothers, and Plunkett did most of the postnatal care. Most midwives worked in hospital and were also trained nurses. Now, that was to change all of that was to change significantly in the 1990s. At the same time, in the 1980s, there was a home birth movement that arose, which was predominantly a Western worldwide anti-establishment movement, in fact, which persuaded the government that women wanted home birth if it was available. Now, this was, as I said, a Western worldwide movement. Māori had little input into that movement at that time. In fact, the Māori Women's Welfare League, who oversaw the welfare, I guess, of interests of mothers and babies, did not even put in a submission to the 1990 Nurses Amendment Act, which sought to change the system. And nor, I have to say, when I read the parliamentary debates about that bill passing through Parliament, there was no mention of Māori at all, which was, significant, I think, to say what this movement was about. So that was the situation. Shall I continue? In
Why do you
pre-1990s.
think, yes, why do you think there were no submissions made by Māori at that time? Why none, do you think?
Yes, no, it's interesting. They seem to, at that time, Māori mothers seemed to be happy or wanted the services of their local GPs and accepted that hospital birth was a sensible option in childbirth. They seemed to be more accepting, is my opinion. I mean, it just seemed that way. In the 1980s, you have to remember that. So I think so, yeah.
And why did you choose from 70 to 22, 1972, 2022, not previous to that? Because we do know that rural wahine in the rural areas, they were still assisting each other with childbirth. And of course, we had kuia and some kaumātua who were tohunga
Yes.
in midwifery. So you.
Okay, yes. No, I have elsewhere written on that earlier period, but this book was specifically on the politics of maternity care in this more recent period. This was a new book that it just hasn't been written about before that period. There's been quite a lot written on the earlier period, but that's not the focus of this particular book. I mean, there's
And
plenty you can
so,
talk about the 19th century, early 20th century, absolutely. And I have written on the what was called the native, it's called the native at the time, health district nursing system in the early 20th century, but that's not the focus of this book. So if I can talk about the changes that occurred in the 1990s and how they impacted perhaps on Māori mothers, Basically, this legislation and the government changes, the policy changes in the 1990s, set up a new system of what they called lead maternity carers, who were predominantly midwives, so midwives rather than GPs or obstetricians were in charge of maternity services from early pregnancy to 6 weeks postnatally. And one of the issues with this system was that women needed to contract an LMC, a lead maternity carer, and this led to all sorts of access problems because there simply weren't enough midwives, and in particular for those Māori women that you're talking about in the rural areas and where midwives weren't working so much. And the other thing that the 1990s Act sought to do was to encourage home birth on the basis that birth was a normal life event. In fact, as it turned out, after 1990, most women chose not to go down the home birth route. But what they did do was go to the midwife set up primary birthing units. There were about 60 of them around the country, and admittedly, they were popular with Māori women because they were low tech and sort of more cozy, comfortable places. However, the problem with these was that they were often a long way from any sort of hospital support, base hospital or tertiary hospital support, which was a particular issue for Māori mothers, actually, because they had a higher incidence of premature babies and therefore a higher need, perhaps for neonatal intensive care units, which were a long way away. And so the outcomes weren't as good for Māori mothers as for non-Māori, it has to be said. In fact, the perinatal...
You talk about politics and policy and how it impacted on midwifery. And how much did politics determine what we see in midwifery services today, or did midwifery services change the politics and the policy to what we have today?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's all tied together, isn't it? I mean, it certainly was political decisions to have midwives being in charge of maternity services in New Zealand, and that is a pretty unique world, in the world, it is unique to have that system. But working, having charge, not having any need to collaborate if they choose not to. So it is a political decision for sure. But if you want to talk about midwives, so the College of Midwives was set up in 1989, and that still is our body, and the Midwifery Council from 2004. But for Māori midwives, let's talk about the Ngā Māia, which was the Māori Midwives Collective set up in 1994, and a great initiative. They really took charge themselves. They wanted to set up their own kind of midwifery body overseeing Māori Māori maternity. And so while in my book, I sort of interweave the story of Māori midwifery and midwives into my political history, but I also think that Ngā Māia should be doing its own history, and I would encourage them really to write their own stories and give their own accounts. I would not make that assumption and do it for them, except in the way it, politics impacts onto it.
Thank you so very much for joining us this morning, Professor. Wonderful to call it all with you. Very interesting, your research, and we look forward to reading this particular book. Thanks very much for joining us here on Te Reo Irirangi o Wāia.
Okay, so I think that, if I can just say that we really do need to acknowledge Māori tikanga and incorporate that into childbirth, but Māori mothers also need access to modern technology for us to have more equitable outcomes in childbirth.
Thanks very much for joining us, Professor Linda Brider there, and
thank you
book,
so much.
The Best Country to Give Birth, Midwifery, His Home Birth, and the Politics of Maternity in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And, of course, Professor Linda Brider is absolutely correct.